I started to learn how to code,
yeah.
Not to code myself, but to speak the language of the developers. I think it's important to speak to empathy. It's a question of empathy. And in journalism and in life, you have to be empathic.
When I was a little girl playing in my father's office, I dreamed of learning how to code. But my dad wasn't a coder. He was a businessman. And I never got to learn how. And it's been something that I've been curious about my whole life. And now this whole world is startup and tech crazy. You got to check out Hack Reactor. Even if you've been curious and you want to improve your skills and you're working in the marketing department and you happen to have to learn how to do HTML and you want to take it that much further, Hack Reactor is the trusted environment to go to become the best programmer that you could possibly be. Not only will you get the education, but you'll get the support from them to make sure that you're not alone in the journey. HackReactor.com.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech Podcast. Where do I find the energy to keep interviewing incredible, extraordinary women in tech here in Lisbon, Portugal? I feel absolutely grateful to be able to meet so many incredible women and hear about their stories. And Mariana and I were trying to get together for the last couple of days, and I'm stoked that she could be here because she has a way better perspective on the tech community here in Lisbon and around the world more than I could ever have. So hello.
Hi, how are you? Thank you.
Go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay, I'm Mariana. I'm 32 years old, and I have been a journalist like the last 12 years. And for the last 6 years, I have been writing about entrepreneurs, startups, and tech girls and boys here in Lisbon and in the world.
Hey, listen, I think guys in tech are just as equally loved as girls in tech. I am all for both. You guys on another episode probably met Andrew at the home co-working space where I am right now. So we need to celebrate both. I think, wouldn't you agree it's important that everybody is celebrated together and we all rise equally?
Yes, it's true. I think girls and boys should be equal in tech and in the world. So
100%.
Yeah.
And so what has your specialty been as a writer? You said for the past 6 years, you've been reporting on startups and the tech ecosystem. And before that, what were you reporting on?
On, I don't know, every issue, Portugal, the world, I guess. But I've been invited to found the Dinheiro Vivo, which is a website here in Portugal.
Right.
And writing just about entrepreneurs based on fast company and entrepreneur stories. So it's like the ecosystem was born there. And then I've been invited to write about it.
That's cool. And are you Portuguese?
Yes.
Okay. So, but you've lived in a lot of different places. Where have you lived?
In New York, in Buenos Aires, in Madrid.
You moved there out of just exploration, or what brought you to the other areas?
To Buenos Aires, I moved to do my master's in journalism and to work there in a newspaper. And at New York, I've moved last year for a month to work in ProPublica, which is an investigative team in journalism. And to Madrid, I did Erasmus there. I studied there.
Awesome. And so, yeah, tell me, when did you become passionate about technology? I mean, it wasn't just 6 years ago. It was before then, right?
Yes. I like technology, and I'm curious about it. So I'm curious about new things. So technology is like a new thing coming every day, every year.
Yeah.
And but the best thing is to know people who create technology and who create technology every day. We disrupt so.
And what have you been discovering about the evolution of the Lisbon tech ecosystem, or even the tech ecosystem in Portugal as a whole? Can you share with us a little bit about what's going on here?
Yes, the tech ecosystem and the startups ecosystems change a lot in 6 years past. So every startup who is growing today, it's like a reflection, a result for a work that has been going this year. So I think this is all the result for work that that Portugal has been doing for the last 10 years, I guess. So it's really amazing how the things changed and how people like you are here today talking about tech and about girls and about startups.
Right.
It's incredible.
I'm glad I'm welcome in Lisbon. I love Lisbon. And what are the resources here that exist for the tech community?
I'm involved to the organization Chicas Poderosas, which is a movement to empower women in tech in newsrooms, and has been founded by a Portuguese girl, Mariana, also as me, in Costa Rica. And then we have 11 countries in South America. And here in Portugal, we did our first event in October, last October, and we are launching two new events here. So we do workshops, we do empowerment, we do basically about it's about inspiration, and it's the thing that makes you believe that you are capable to do something.
And if she can do it, so can I.
Yes,
that's the whole point of the Women in Tech podcast. If she can do it, so can I. I always hope that you guys listening see what's possible, and then you're able to take action on your own to create your own dreams.
That's the same things.
Yeah. Yes. And how can people find out more?
Okay, you can go to chicaspoderosas.org and you can find some information and
awesome. And that's chicaspoderosas.
It means
.org.
Yes. It means Chicas Poderosas means powerful woman.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
You have a lot of cool workspace. You have a lot of incubators and accelerators that if you come abroad, you can go and sit and meet the community. I don't know. You have so much meetups and conferences, and there is a world new, I guess.
Is there a particular website here that people could know what's going on right away and feel the pulse of the city?
Yes, you have a new one. It's called Made of Lisbon, and it's like a community that gets together the mayor and the incubators and the accelerators and all the startups and people who are working in the ecosystem.
What do you discover about, I mean, how many startups would you say, if you could even recall a number, you've interviewed or explored at this point? It's probably
1,000,
too many.
I guess. 1,000,
what would
yeah.
you say you notice are some common patterns in companies that succeed, and then maybe some common patterns in companies that don't?
I guess the energy is like a full room of energy, of light, I guess. The ones that succeed, and the ones that, but success is like a strange thing, because you can be successful without having a fundraising or something important in terms of the business. Okay, energy, I will tell. Business model is not a issue, I guess, because sometimes you don't have a business model, but you have the vision. So if you have the vision is the
That's
main
interesting.
Thing.
Yeah. That's surprising.
I guess. I don't know. The vision, the energy, you have to be open to the world so you can feel other people and connect to other people and make a change. I guess that is the most important.
And the companies that haven't done so well, what have you noticed?
They failed. They start a new business. They start two new business in the last 6 years. I did interview people that are working for another people, didn't get it, the own business, and they are not the
they're not doing the founders.
No, they change their minds. And they are working for other people. They fail,
and they're like, okay, I've had enough.
Yes,
like, let me
yes.
Just go
they realize it. That they, because I think it's not every people that can found a tech company or
totally.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of resilience.
Yes, yeah. A lot of work and a different vision.
Lots of tears.
Yes, yes, that's true.
What would you say is an interview you've had that really moved you, that you learned a lot from?
I did an interview last week to Alar Kolk, which is the founder of European Innovation Academy, which is an institution that teaches students, university students, to start their own business and have the vision to do it. And he told me that innovation is like brushing your teeth. Mm-hmm. You have to do it every day. so you don't have problems in your mouth. So it's true. Some people think they start a business and that's all. And it's not. Starting a business is just the first step to change your life. So right. You have to work hard every day and you have to be disruptive and to be innovative and to have vision. You have to do it every day.
And what's one thing that you feel is super unique about Lisbon? I mean, you came back here. What brought you back here?
My family and friends. And the opportunity to write and to interview people that speaks the same language I do. Lisbon is unique in the way I think, of course, I feel homey here because it's my home. But I think every person who comes here can feel home here, even if it's their houses are in the other side of the world. So
totally.
Yes.
I mean, especially here at home, hostel, I feel completely at home. We've talked about on a few episodes how I consider you a woman in tech because you're a woman in the tech industry that reports on the tech industry. But we've been talking about some women feel like maybe they're not the right fit for the podcast because they're a female founder, but they don't code. And that's mm-hmm. been this debate. Are you in tech if you don't know, if you're not an engineer? And so
I started to code.
Oh, well then. I'm out.
You're not?
I know how to build websites.
You have to learn it. I didn't learn to. I don't know how to code correctly, yeah. But I started to learn how to code.
Yeah.
Not to code myself, but to speak the language of the developers. I think it's important to speak to empathy. It's a question of empathy, and in journalism and in life, you have to be empathetic with the people.
Okay, wait. So 100%. So I've had all CTO co-founders in all my companies and having a CTO co-founder where I learn from them, I get to understand their language after a while where one of my business partners would say, you know, just because we can build the feature doesn't mean we should. Or like writing notes in code so that if another programmer takes over your code, they know what that signifies throughout the code. People usually write sloppy code. And so if you have sloppy code, then it's really difficult to grow a strong company. These are all things that I learned from. So yes. And so then when you're talking to your future teammates, you could have, you know, empathy or relatability. At least you understand where they're coming from in order to be a better teammate to them.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
To share language is the first step to
100%.
To understand.
But what I was going to get at, though, is actually how do you become a journalist in the tech community? Like, how do you become a tech journalist? And I know this isn't a show exactly. It's not a show about journalism whatsoever. But I have to ask. I can't not ask as a fellow journalist. Don't you feel like, in a sense, true journalism is dead? I know it's controversial and this isn't for it, but I really do. I feel like everything, at least in the States, is all based on ratings. That's not what journalism is. Journalism is getting to the heart of the truth of a matter.
Yes.
And because everything's so driven by ratings and advertising, we're not funded properly or supported properly to be allowed to get to the truth. And I don't consider myself a journalist anymore as much as I consider myself as a story sharer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a storyteller. Yeah.
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 Because I know what journalism is, and I would never, and it's such an honorable job. Yes. I would never want to say.
You know, I think nowadays we don't have the opportunity to do that kind of journalism. I mean, you can tell stories, but good stories, but you can't investigate.
Right.
2 years for a story.
Right.
Because you don't have money, you don't have the time, you don't have the skills.
And you're not supported.
Yes, you know.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's not. So that kind of real journalism, yes, is in crisis.
Yeah. But how do you become then a reporter?
Yes.
A reporter is a more casual word too.
Yes.
I'm a reporter. Yeah. A reporter on within the tech industry.
It was occasional. My editor-in-chief invited me to write about tech and about entrepreneurs. And as the ecosystem was born in that years, I guess it was occasional, and I view my interest growing about that issues, yes.
Right.
And I'm starting to grow, I guess, like as a journalist of tech and of startups.
And this was 6 years ago.
Yes.
How can, I mean, everybody would be so upset with me if I didn't ask, what are some tips, and I could share in this conversation, what are some tips that to get your attention, to get an article written about? I mean, that's what they're all dying to know. Like, why, how can I get you to write about me? I know. So,
okay. Go. Transparency. I guess if you are transparency to me, if you write me on Facebook, if you write me an email, because it's not so usual like you must think. Normally, Portuguese people don't write to journalists. They write to journalists when they have a news agency to help on the communication, but they don't write to journalists. So it's write to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And you tell me your story, and sure, I can discover a good story in that story. So,
and what are your thoughts? And I'm so excited for this answer. What are your thoughts on press releases?
They're boring.
Yeah. Ditto.
And sometimes, and the most of the times, they have stories that I had told after.
Mm-hmm.
After, no, before.
Oh, here, after.
Yes.
Here's one. I get, I know this will interest you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And then a copy and paste of the press release.
Yes. And I answer, I did that story 2 years ago. Did you see it? And I send it the link, and it's all.
Well, that's more than I do. I don't even reply.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think you're nice to say.
Thank you.
That's like going, you're like doing work for them. That's ridiculous.
Yes, yeah. But that is ridiculous. You should investigate what the journalist wrote.
100%.
To send them.
And send me a personal email.
Yeah. But that is a problem.
Yeah.
You had same story told by every journalist. It's like insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because it's totally insane.
That's why I prefer that startups and founders write to me directly.
Yeah.
And I answer them.
Like a personal email.
Yes.
And a short one.
Yes.
That is under 5 lines.
Mm-hmm. Invite me for a coffee.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. Well, before you head out, how can people connect with you? Where should they read your articles? And also, what's the best way that you're comfortable with staying in touch?
Okay, they can stay in touch on Facebook. I have my profile open, so they can send me messages.
And can you spell your name for everybody so they could find you?
Mariana Barbosa, Mariana Barbosa. And you can email me to mariana.barbosa@echo.pt. And you can read my stories, the best stories in town.
Love it.
At echo.pt.
And that's P-T, P like Peter.
Yes.
Yeah. Or it's Portugal, P like Portugal.
Yes. Portugal. Yes.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast and making time. I know it's late, you guys. It's like 8 p.m. on a Monday. We are making it happen for you. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
You guys, if you want to connect with more incredible women in tech, remember to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Takes you straight to the Facebook group. And you could also tweet at me at Women in Tech Show or at Esprit DeVore on Twitter. And I will love, love, love to hear from you. Bye, guys.
To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit DeVore, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.